And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, here we go. This is going to be the second episode of, well, the second of the newest ones. I've got some old idiot-proof podcasts that are available through, I think, put them on SoundCloud or something like that. Anyway, but then I've got a new podcasting system called Anchor, which is much easier to use. So now I'm on Anchor, and as I've explained to you in the last podcast, this is probably the most unprofessional podcast that exists. I got a microphone now, so I'm kind of doing that, but I don't have a studio, and I just kind of got some background noise. I'm sure the dogs will come up. You might hear Archie, the Conor McGregor in the background. These are all my co-hosts, I call them. But regardless, I've said to myself, I'm going to do one of these every week. So I'm not sure if I did one in a week since the last one, but I'm going to start to try and knock these out every Saturday afternoon because I have some free time. And why not? Why not? So anyway, got an easy Saturday for me today. I'm going to go get a massage. Later on this afternoon, I scheduled a massage, a student massage at the massage school, which is always a gamble. But hopefully they're not in their first week. it's always weird, though. You go into a room with a stranger and you're naked and they're rubbing your body. Kind of an interesting concept, but I like them. A lot of the times I just go to the mall and there's these Asian guys out there that, that for like $15, you sit in a in a massage chair at the mall, listening to really shitty music, but those guys know what they're doing. And if you don't want to wait or want to get naked in a room with a stranger, you just go to the mall and get those guys to take care of you, because it's pretty fucking good. Aside from that, just been working. I had a free night at the casino on Wednesday night, and so I got really excited. I called up, and if you have enough, if you're part of like the Players Club or the whatever Total Rewards thing, they'll give you usually give you free rooms Monday through Thursday or Sunday through Thursday. Excuse me, gotta sneeze. So anyway, I called up, and it was kind of like this long, drawn-out conversation with the customer service rep, and she was really helpful because they wanted you to come up there. So anyway, she's like, well, do you have a preference on which casino? Because apparently there's a new casino out in Murphy. And I was like, I don't really care. But it got confusing because I was starting to get confused because she started checking on rooms for me, but then checking on rooms for my girlfriend, who's also Total Rewards. And then after about 5 minutes of this kind of back and forth, like, what if you combine them both? Would you be able to comp room that way? And she's like, all right, let me check if I combine both your Total Rewards together. And sure enough, she's like, yeah, I got you a room. King, queen, non-smoking, whatever the fuck it was at the casino. She started telling me about all this new restaurant. And she's like, okay, well, I got you booked for tonight at the Harris Cherokee Valley River Casino. You can check in at 4 o'clock and a bunch of other bullshit. So I was like, all right, cool. Now, I should have asked more questions, but to be fair, she never told me which casino it was at, because there's two. There's apparently the Harris Cherokee Valley River, and then there's the Harris Cherokee Casino. I don't know. I didn't know the difference between them. And you'd think that when she'd give this information to me, she'd stipulate the one in Murphy. So I drive all the way up to the casino in Cherokee, which is like an hour from my house, realistically, maybe a little longer. And we get there, and we start checking in, and she's like, well, I don't have a reservation for you. And I was like, well, what do you mean I don't have a reservation? I checked. I made it this afternoon. I don't have a reservation. So I was like, well, you know, I was told that I had a reservation. She's like, oh, I bet it's at the Murphy location, which is an hour and 20 minutes past the casino I was at. And it's already, we didn't get up to the casino until like 10, after 10 o'clock, because we just, I don't want to hang out at the casino all day. I just want to go for a couple hours and then just crash out of the room and then go back. So then she's like, well, let me go listen to the phone conversation. And she did. She went and listened to the phone conversation and then came back and said that the lady was quite clear about where I was staying at, which she never once said the word Murphy. You're going to the casino in Murphy. You think that'd be a big point to make if you were going to have two casinos, which, just so you know, both had the exact same address. It's 777 Winner's Circle or some bullshit like that. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? So then my girlfriend, she's out in the park, in the parking deck talking to the valets, and apparently this happens all the time. And they had just had a meeting about it that day. So anyway, spent about 2 hours just driving, because I wasn't gonna drive two more hours to the other one. I just was so upset and so frustrated. I just wanted to hang out. And by the time we'd have got to the other casino, it would have been after midnight. And so anyway, there's my rant about that. But you know what? People in customer service need to be a little nicer. Especially that lady, because she was really, she wouldn't even be my friend, like my fake friend, to like a stone cold bitch. And so that's how I spent my Wednesday night. That happened this week, which is not the worst thing that could happen to you. So, and I don't like complaining. I'm just sharing that story because that was a bit frustrating for me. But aside that, this week was great. Worked, made some money, worked out, some good training this week. At the gym, got a couple of my teammates are going down to compete at these super fights in Tennessee. So Johnny Buck and Brian the Butcher are heading down to do some wrestling, some kill games, I think that's what Johnny calls them. Anyway, so if you're looking for a good gym to come train at, I train at Rogue Combat Fitness over on Tunnel Road right now. They got something for everybody over there, and it's a great place to it's a great place to exercise and to better yourself. I like to go to the gym, and I do go to Gold's still, but it's not as interesting, because I like to go to martial arts because I'm learning something while I'm getting in shape. So there's that benefit to it as well. And I will say that it's changed my life drastically in a lot of ways. And I'm really, really, really lucky to have stumbled upon that gym, because... And you know, every gym's different, and it may not be for everybody, but I definitely have benefited from that particular gym. It's good friends, made a lot of good friends there. I've learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself and what I'm capable of at my age, because I'm getting up there, and being able to compete as an older person is fun. It's fun to compete. And it's really weird how I went through a phase of my life where I didn't feel like competing at all, and just kind of was just messing around and kind of shunned any kind of competition. And now the older I get, the more I want to compete and the longer I want to compete for. So I do everything I can to just try and stay in shape, treat my body as good as possible, because anybody who knows me knows that I have definitely... burned the candles on both ends, and I have definitely partied. I've lived the rock star life on a garage band budget, that's for sure. So I'm kind of just trying to do a lot less partying, a lot less late nights, a lot less drinking, a lot less all that stuff, and treat myself right. And I am surprisingly in the best shape of my life. I could improve my cardio by a lot, but I hate running. I do it though. I do run. But I don't know what it is about it. I never have liked running long distances. But you know, it's necessary. I mean, I got to get my cardio up. So after I do this podcast, I'm going to head over to the gym, do some running. I'm gonna work my abs today too. I do a lot of chest work, a lot of upper body stuff. And I think I'm gonna work on my abs and try to get shredded down there too. yeah, so that's my day. I am also I don't know, what else do you want to talk about today? Oh, we can talk about how It's awesome. My favorite football season starting right now. I don't really care about football like I used to. I used to be a big football fan. And I don't really have time to watch games anymore. I just would rather do other things on, especially on Sunday afternoon. I'm not trying to sit around for 4 hours and watch a bunch of bullshit commercials. And I don't know. It's just less interesting to me than I used to be really into it. But you know, I was thinking to myself, and I say this to all the people all the time at the bar that come into my bar. You know, football is an incredibly violent sport. And obviously, anybody who's paying attention at all to the news knows that there's been a lot of head trauma. Go figure. Go figure. There'd be head trauma in football. But the point I was going to make is that I really legitimately believe this, and you can believe it or not, that the only way football makes it is if they get rid of all the pads and helmets. And I know people would probably be like, they're going to get hurt. They're not going to get hurt. People play rugby all the time without pads and helmet on. They do just fucking fine. So I think the pads and helmet are what's causing all the problems. The helmet especially. It gives you like a false sense of security about how hard you can hit somebody and how you can tackle somebody. Dudes don't even try to tackle with their arms anymore. This comes like a battering ram, like fucking Ram Man from the Master of the Universe trying to fucking jack people up. And that's where you're fighting guys getting cracked in the head. And then the helmet-to-helmet hits. You know how many helmet-to-helmet hits cause concussions? Pretty much every single helmet-to-helmet hit. And guess what would happen if you didn't have helmets on? There'd be no helmet-to-helmet hits. The helmets are stupid. They're dumb. And I don't know why there's a fascination with them. And people think that the game would get any worse, but there's legitimately a no pad football league I was watching on a no pad American football league I was watching on YouTube, and it's legit. But you know what it is? It's 7-on-7, so they don't have the offensive linemen, which are the guys that are headbanging each other in every fucking play, probably getting a concussion every time they bash heads with each other. So I don't know. I just think that in the future it'll probably be 7-on-7, no pads, full contact. I'll be down to watch that. I don't really give a fuck about the guys blocking. But, you know, people probably lose their fucking shit about that, too. I think it's awesome. I hope there's more kneeling and shit this year. That's the problem with people. I don't give a fuck if people kneel. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? People are just so fucking crazy. The outrage from people is just crazy. I don't give a shit. Go ahead and kneel. Big fucking deal. You know? And if you're gonna cry about them kneeling, go for it. Go ahead and cry. I don't give a shit. I don't care. They can be kneeling over the fact that their grandma's apple pie sucks. I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? But it was such a fucking hilarious shit show last year with people just on social media just going crazy about this. There's probably about a million memes about the fucking, like, the self-righteous people who are like, you don't kneel. And then, you know, people on both ends. It's a completely stupid fucking argument to have, because people disrespect the flag in all sorts of ways all the time. Every fucking 4th of July, when people are eating fucking chili dogs and potato salad off of fucking American flag shaped and colored paper plate and wiping the ketchup off their face with American flag napkin, can go fuck themselves, because it doesn't, like, stop it. Just stop all of it. Stop all of it, you know? But I'm sure that's not going to happen, because people just like to bitch about shit and worry about things that really don't fucking matter. Really doesn't fucking matter. If you don't want to watch somebody kneel or you get upset about it, just fucking eat some more fucking Papa John's. That fucker's fucked. That guy is a world-class psycho. And I don't know why he said some racist shit during a fucking conference call and said it was a joke. But I think sometimes when people just get so wealthy, and, like, you know, he's kind of famous for being a pizza guy, because that fucking narcissist puts himself in every Papa John's commercial. You don't see the pizza guy, CEO of pizza, putting himself in there, but I guess he thinks that's okay to do, and nobody gives a shit about him, But anyway, now he's fucked because they lost their contract apparently with the NFL, which is a big deal. And you, it's really funny how quickly certain actions will get yourself distanced from your I guess your corporate friends, because he really fucking fucked up. The first thing he did, he said the kneeling was causing his company to lose business. You know what causes your company to lose business, Papa John? The fact your pizza tastes like shit. It literally tastes like shit. Even when I'm drunk, that shit tastes garbage. I hate it when I'm drunk. It got really sweet sauce to me. I fucking hate that pizza. I never order Papa John's, even when I'm drunk. So maybe make some good pizza and we'll start talking. But I guess, I mean, some people must like it. Same people like Bud Light. No judgment. Like Bud Light if you want to. I drink Miller Lite, so whatever. Laugh at me too. People get really pissed off though about... People are really, you know what? As a bartender, it's never fails that somebody will come in. People are so fucking uptight about beer right now. And I happen to live in Beer City, USA, which is probably claimed by about 15 other cities in America, but I don't really care. There's a lot of beer here. Call your city Beer City, whatever. I think Milwaukee's Beer City because they fucking turn on the faucet. Miller Lite's pouring out of the fucking faucets there. But, people are really, really weird about beer right now. And, you know, some people know a lot about it, but most people are just full of shit. They get a couple shirts. They walk around their fucking, they walk around their brewery swag they have. I mean, there's literally at least 40 breweries here in Asheville. And a lot of them are pretty good. I mean, I generally find that each brewery has something that I like and I can drink. I'm not super picky though, but motherfuckers around here are. Holy shit. But I work at a bar and it never fails when somebody comes in to the bar that I... Like, it'll be a wife and a husband or a group of guys, and they'll be like, oh, he's a beer snob. He's a real beer connoisseur. So I immediately know this guy only drinks IPAs. I immediately know. You try and offer, and if you're a real connoisseur and you just want to try something else, how about a Saison or a Kolsch or a Stout or something? Nope. IPAs, double IPAs. The hoppier, the better. That doesn't mean you're a beer connoisseur. It means you're a fucking rookie. And you think you are because you drink IPAs. But guess what? Everybody drinks IPAs. Everybody gets into craft beer first, drinks IPAs. First they hate them, then they love them. But it's like douchebags like that come in that are fucking... They ruin it for everybody else. There was a lady that was hanging out at the bar the other day. Not the other day, it was probably about a year ago. So, the other day in regards to, you know... Yeah. No, not the other day. She was just... Because I work at a bar, we get a lot of... it's a hotel bar, so we get a lot of people that are consultants that work really hard during the day, and they get back to the hotel, and they just want to chill out, and this lady had that look. I think she was actually a nurse of scrubs, so she had been at the hospital all day doing something. Anyway, she's down there drinking Michelob Ultra. Again, no judgment. That's what you drink. You just want to come down to the hotel bar and kick back and have a Michelob Ultra and just kind of unwind after a long day. By all means, I don't give a shit. It all works the same in the end, right? You drink enough of anything, gives you the same result. But she's hanging out in a group of older guys, probably around 50, late 50s, early 60s, maybe. I think mid 50s probably are down there, and they're like, there's one ringleader guy talking about all the IPAs he drinks, and the only thing he drinks is IPAs, and he's a beer connoisseur. And I'm like, oh, here we fucking go. And then he looks down at the end of the bar, and he starts to fucking harass the lady about what she's drinking, and he keeps saying, why are you drinking that? And literally, she's seriously just not talking to anyone, not even me. You know, sometimes you interact with the bartender, but not even me. She just wants to be left alone. And she kind of said, she didn't really have a response from me. I said, I just told her, he said, well, you know where you're at? You should be drinking all this great beer here. And she just really basically ignored him. And I was thinking to myself, like, these dudes probably live in some town where the most exotic beer they ever drank 5 years ago was a Stella or a Heineken. And now they got a little taste of this craft beer movement and they've turned into the biggest fucking douchebags that are walking around right now. It's like this real hobby for fucking morons. Not everybody. So again, not everybody. Like, a lot of people are really into beer and I get that. And those people are pretty fucking chill. But it's a loudmouth fucking asshole guy from Dayton, Ohio that all of a sudden is a beer expert because he's had some IPAs and walks around with a Wicked Weed shirt on. If for those of you who don't know Wicked Weed, it's a very popular brewery here. So anyway, that's my little rant about craft beer because I do like beer a lot, but the people that are really hobbyists about it are, I don't even hobbyists, I think there's like posers and then there's real people. Like any other kind of hobby or any kind of interest, there's like people are really into it and people who think they're really into it. And I think there's a lot of people who really think they're into it, talking a lot of shit and mostly just drinking shitty IPAs that give you headaches in the morning. So anyway, I'm interested to see where craft beer goes though, because it's kind of at this point now where I live, it's just fucking saturated and everywhere. It's hard to imagine they could even open any more breweries, but I do know that the micro distillery thing is now starting to take off, which is interesting. There's a couple, if you're around Asheville and you're actually listening to this, the chemist makes really good gin. And I walked in there the other day, same day I went to the casino, had that awesome time at the casino. I went there earlier and just had a little tasting at their distillery, and it looks really cool in there. It looks like an apothecary. And there's all kinds of books. The lady was very informative. Learned a lot about gin in a short amount of time. But their gin is really, really tasty. And I think that's kind of what's going to be happening next is the micro distilleries. Although people get shithoused on those 7% beers. Imagine people going to the micro distilleries all over town. I wonder how that's gonna look here in Asheville. But they do have crazy liquor laws, so I think it's going to be a little bit harder to open a distillery than it is to open a craft brewery. Because I literally think you could probably go into any bank here in Asheville and get a business loan for a brewery with no credit at all. You probably have it written down on a napkin, your business plan, and they'll give you the loan for it. Anyway, yeah, my girlfriend's all into this plastic straw ban right now, which I think is fucking hilarious. It's not hilarious, and I get it. If she ever listens to this, like, it's not because I think it's hilarious. I think people need to read a lot more in general before they start getting behind causes. I think people will jump onto anything that makes them feel good. And you know, I do get the awareness in regards to how much plastic and how much we throw away and how we do just take... I mean, I just throw... the hotel I work at, and any restaurant for that matter, is just such a waste of resources. You consistently have throwaway items that are just that are just nonstop being chucked into the trash, and I totally understand that point behind it, but I think the straw thing has good intentions, but will have minimal effect, if any, on what people think it'll have an effect on. Because after this straw ban started, you know, taking shape, I like to read about stuff and kind of dig into it a little bit deeper and figure out what exactly is going on. And a lot of the information apparently that's gathered about how many straws we use was gathered by an 11-year-old boy's school project, as he called. And I don't know what kind of methods and variables and like how he actually came up with all these numbers, but literally there's like some kind of 500 million a day or something ridiculous like that. That was calculated by a kid, apparently. And so, you know, the other day I mean, I live in the mountains. Unless like a sea turtle is hiking the fucking Appalachian Trail or climbing Mount Mitchell or wandering around the streets of Asheville, it's very unlikely that that straw is going to get stuck in its nose. Because everybody knows there's that the video of the turtle with the straw up his nose, and I was thinking maybe that turtle has a drug problem. He was partying a little too hard last night, huh, Mr. Sea Turtle? But yeah, it sucks, you know, because some animals do get caught in the they get caught in the crosshairs of human activity, for that matter. But the straw thing, which is interesting, which I read, is that we actually do not, as modern societies in like Europe and United States and all those things, we're not really the ones that are dropping the straws into the ocean. It's very, 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 very small portion that gets in there. It's countries in, it's Asia and Africa. And the problem with them is their disposal methods. So what really happens is a lot of their garbage just goes into rivers and then just shoots out into the ocean. That's literally how they get rid of stuff. They just dump it into rivers. So in the United States, our trash situation is pretty fucking complex. And we used to have garbage dumps, but we don't have dumps anymore. We have landfills, are called. And landfills are surprisingly more high tech than people think. And there's less landfills now than there were garbage dumps back in the 1970s. So they do a really, really good job of managing all the trash and recycling that we have here. It could be better. Everything could always be better. I know that in Europe, their recycling methods are considerably better than ours. But whether it gets recycled or goes to the landfill, those are two safe spots, one better than the other. I know Starbucks wants to use paper straws, but as of right now, paper takes a lot more energy to produce. Paper straws take a lot more energy to produce than the plastic straws that you just throw away. And so there's that. There's also the fact that Starbucks, if they eliminate the straws, there's apparently a bunch of straws help disabled people drink. So now there's that hurdle, which is always somebody's gonna jump on that social justice kind of bandwagon of, you know, it's discriminatory against the straw ban will be discriminatory against people who have disabilities who can't drink without straws. So I think it's a really noble idea. I think it's somewhat misguided. And I think there's not a lot of information out there that's getting to people aside from a video of a turtle that's choking on a straw, which sucks. Don't get me wrong, that sucks. And it sucks for the turtle, and that's unfortunate, happens. But I think that there's probably a better... there's probably other more effective ways of reducing our plastic use. And I know they're coming up with all kinds of amazing new developments in plastic. Hemp plastic is something that, you know, obviously we're a long way away from that, because people still think hemp is weed and people are fucking stupid. So, but there's also, you know, the thing about plastic is there's an incredible human being named Boyan Slott right now. And this morning I just watched how his machines work, and they're beta testing them right now. And it's really fucking cool. They kind of drag this line across the ocean, and they use wind, currents, and waves. And what it does is it's kind of a simple concept, but it has a long tube that keeps the machine buoyant, and then it has this indestructible mesh tarp that goes down, and it's impossible for fish to get stuck in it. They've developed it so they can't get stuck, and they go underneath it, and then all the plastic gets stuck on this tarp. And what it's really doing is creating a coastline in the ocean, and it just drags all the stuff around. They have ships go out there, they grab the plastic, they take the plastic back to the mainland, and then they recycle it and use it again. And once these are launched, which is in the next couple years, 50% of the Great Pacific Garbage Patch is going to be cleaned up. Within 5 years. Within 10 years, they think the whole thing is going to be cleaned up. And that's really fucking amazing. Because we always think it's, we always think that nobody's going to figure out a problem that we have in society. It's like, if the, if like, Austin, hey, fucking polio, fuck it, we're fucked. We're not going to do anything about that. But people work really hard at it. HIV, the hole in the ozone. We've done, like, we create problems, but then we fix them. We as society fix them because there's a lot of smart people out there. And this ocean cleanup project is, that plastic out there is a resource. They're going to take it back and they're going to make money on it. It's a gold mine for somebody. This kid's 25 years old. Actually, I should stop calling him a kid. That's stupid. This man is 25 years old, was swimming in Greece, scuba diving, saw a bunch of plastic and said, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. And he did. And he's doing it. And that's what's amazing about human beings. We have problems, but we are going to fix them. And that's what's wrong with people who get so scared. Like, it's the end of everything. And, you know, when we talk about climate change, and we can't do change everything all at once. We create these problems, and these problems take a long time to figure out because they're complex and there's billions of people involved. But guess what? We're gonna figure it out. Because realistically, humans, we're not trying to die off. We want to always progress. I mean, it's just since human beings have been living in caves, they wanted to progress. They wanted to move forward. It's in our DNA. And you know, it's another thing. I just read this as well. So the whole thing with plastic, and plastic is a huge deal because it's like the biggest worry, and it was like, you know, over the past 10 years, people are terrified about it. I was reading in Smithsonian about how there's a mutant enzyme that breaks down plastic. It says it's definitely cool, but probably won't solve our plastic problem, which is cool, which is fine, but it can help. They found a strain of bacteria that naturally evolved to eat away the polyethylene teref, I don't know how to say the last word, T-E-R-E-P, teraflatate, the common plastic known as PET or polyester. It eats that shit. It was an accident. The happy accident allows the complete recycling of bottles back to original form. What a trip. It's a mutant enzyme. It evolved to eat that plastic. That's what I mean. Like, it's just, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy world we live in that there's always something to combat the other thing. I mean, I really believe that the world is a lot better than people make it out to be. And I know there's a whole fuck ton of people out there that live hand to mouth and struggling to make it. But I think help's on the way. I think that people are just inherently going to live better and more amazing lives in the future. I know that there's been tremendous breakthroughs in Africa with education and technology and connectivity with each other. But there's a lot of things that have to change. I think a lot of people who are there's a lot of people that still believe a lot of witchcraft. You could lump some religion into that. I know that people use religion in all different types of ways. I think some people use it in very nefarious ways to hold people down and to keep women as a subhuman to them and use it as a source of power over others. I know other people just use it as a source of inspiration. And then there's others who are fucking creeps, like the entire Catholic fucking church. Those guys are fucking scumbags. I'll get into that in my next podcast. But I think I've got to get out of here. This is my second podcast. I think next podcast I'm gonna watch a movie. I'm gonna start watching, do these breakdowns of 1980s films, which are my favorite. It's my favorite era of films. And so I'm going to be deciding on that. If anybody has a particular film they want me to narrate and review, please let me know. I'd love to do that. I have some ideas in mind, though. I'm going to try and do that. I'm going to try and do more of these podcasts more often and really try and be diligent about it and get some more guests in there. I know we keep on saying I'm going to get guests, but but we'll see how that goes. So I'm going to run. I got to go to the gym. Got to get my dog his flea medicine. And to all you out there, this is Max the Hater. Hope you have a fucking great weekend. Go out there and kick some fucking ass. Hug the people you love. Love the people you hug. And smile at strangers. Don't be a dick. And I'll talk to you on my next podcast. Have a great weekend.